Good morning, my brothers, sisters and young people. It's been a while since I have been over here. It's probably more my fault than yours. But I do bring with us the loving greetings of your brothers and sisters in Hamilton, and also their sympathy for the loss of Brother Vic. About 12 months ago, just over, I was just doing a trip from Hamilton, from home to Cambridge. It's about 15 kilometres. Start showing my age there. I've done 100 times before. It was a nice day, nice blue sky, nice dry road. It was a trip to Cambridge. Didn't think anything of it. But as I came up to one intersection, I saw a car on the other side of the road, stopped there, just going to pull into another road. They were stopped and I carried on. About 50 metres away, the driver decided to turn in to that road, across the road in front of me. Word of advice, buy a car with ABS braking. It is really good. I jumped on the brakes. I did swerve, whatever. And the outcome was, I was sitting on the other side of the intersection. My car was written off. The other car managed to drive through and stop. No one was hurt, other than the car, which was a little damaged and couldn't drive away. But as I was stopped, sort of sitting in the car, thinking, this has gone quite well. It could have been a lot worse. Once I stopped chafing a bit, I went out and checked out the driver. She also was slightly shaken. She was probably an old lady in her 70s. She said, I just, yeah, older than I was. I said older, not old. I'm trying to be diplomatic here. Maybe I should stop digging the hole. But her car wasn't as damaged and she was actually able to drive away. I said, well, maybe if I didn't have ABS, maybe if I'd been going a little bit faster, everything could have been a whole lot different. And you're thinking, well, actually when I left home, I didn't think that Christ was going to return that day. But if that could have been a serious accident for me, maybe he could have. May the 14th, 1948. Do you even recognise that date? A few nods. It was the day that Israel became a nation. The British mandate over Palestine officially terminated at midnight, May the 14th, 1948. Earlier in the day, at 4 p.m, David Ben-Gurion proclaimed the creation of the State of Israel and became its first Prime Minister. That was now 71 years ago. Just over. Not many of us now, I don't think, would remember that actually happening. I won't ask you to put your hands up, but you know. I certainly don't. That was sort of well before my time. But I know that date, everyone was saying, Christ is coming. The generation that sees this is going to see the return of Christ. 48, 58, 68. 40 years. 40 years was a generation. It says it here. So therefore, Christ is going to come back May 1988. I've heard of some brothers and sisters who left the truth in despair because that didn't happen. Because Christ didn't come back when they thought he should have come back, they turned their back on God. And then people said, well, maybe it's 70 years, 70. That's come and gone too. So does God really want us to know the actual time? Or is scripture purposely vague? Matthew 24 verse 36. He says, no one knows but God the Father. Not the angels. Christ didn't know. The angels didn't know. The only person that knew was God. So do you think we can go through and work out from in the scriptures the actual date that Christ is going to come back? Christ didn't know. The angels didn't know. What hope have we got of knowing? We know the headlines. You know, the creation of Israel. The Six-Day War in June 67. 1967, yeah. I not vaguely remember, but I possibly could have remembered. The latest one, you know, Israel pulling out of the EU. Maybe. They're trying to. But these are all headlines that point to the fact that Christ returned. Is getting nearer. But the trouble is, if we do work out a time that Christ is going to come back, or we think we do, like 1988, what will we do differently? If we could say that Christ isn't going to come back until 2045, how will that change what we do in our lives now? Will we think, sweet, we've got lots of time to be able to get lots of study in, be able to do lots of seminars, be able to get lots more people into the truth? Or do we go the other way and think, 2045, 25 years or so. Whew, I can have fun for 20 years before I need to worry about the fact that Christ is going to come back. We have plenty of time to do all that fun stuff. But would that be right? Because what's going to happen? Well, is it wrong? Because that's what happened to the thief on the cross, wasn't it? He did all these things that were, maybe they weren't fun in those days, but what he ended up doing was something bad enough that the Romans thought he needed to die. That was the end of his life. He had no more time. He asked for forgiveness. Christ forgave him. And we expect to see him in the kingdom. Luke 17, verses 26 to 29. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will also be in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. I remember when I was at CYC, these were bad days. They were eating and they were drinking. Terrible things. The wrath of God came upon them. But were they? How many have had breakfast this morning? Okay, one of you, thank you. I'll join you, I had breakfast too. How many had a drink this morning? Coffee? Tea? It doesn't say they're drinking alcohol, which is, when I was at CYC, that was the way it was always interpreted. So they ate, they drank. How many married? Okay. A lot of us are married. How many people given away kids to get married? Several of them. How many bought a house? Are these things all wrong? Are you going against the scripture to buy a house to do these things? Plant a garden? You know? Sold things? You sell your time in order to get wages, to buy things to eat, etc., etc. None of these things are wrong in themselves. They're all perfectly normal things that humans do. We eat, we drink, we marry, given in marriage, you know, bought, sold, planted, built houses, whatever. But the difference is, they didn't have God in their lives. God wasn't there in their lives. I imagine that, Mark, you had breakfast this morning, you were one of those, I saw you put your hand up. Did you thank God for your food before you ate it? I bet these people didn't. Do we thank God for things that we have? Do we ask God to help us? See, when we do these things, God is there with us. God is there to help us. It's when we turn our back on God and take God out of the equation that these things become wrong. So to CYC members, just because you're teenagers or up-and-coming teenagers doesn't mean you're invincible. We don't know what is around the corner. We don't know what is going to happen to the unbaptized. Don't give up. 2 Peter chapter 3 and 4. This one's probably not just for the young baptized either. This is also for all of us. What did I say? 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 4. And saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. I.e. nothing changes. Maybe we feel like it doesn't change. Like the people waiting for Christ's return and thinking, he hasn't come yet. Everything continues. Why do we bother coming? Because if we look at the headlines, we can look at the prophecies and we know that Christ is coming. We know that one day Christ will return to set up God's kingdom. So don't give up. And those with young families, teach them God's way. Teach them the truth. They are a blessing from God. Let us treat them as such. And to the mature, take the time to help others. It doesn't matter whether you're helping the younger ones, the older ones. Sometimes it's the more mature of us that have the time to be able to help. When you're young, you have a young family and you're running around like a headless chicken with your kids, and you're not sure, sometimes you don't know which way is up. But once you get to the grandparent side of things, it's much easier. You've got a bit more time, and so you can help, and it's actually really great. You know, when they're really bad, you can hand them back after filling them up with lots of sugar. And also with the older ones, count your blessings that you have had. And be an example to the young ones. Talk to the younger ones. Let them know that life wasn't necessarily always easy for you either. And talk to them how you got through things. How that your life and the truth, how that changed or helped your life as you went. We don't know when Christ is going to physically return. We know one thing for certain. If we die, Christ has returned for that person. We take our brother Vic. For brother Vic, Christ's return was yesterday. For my mother-in-law, Christ returned in the middle of last year. We all know someone, a parent, a grandparent, maybe even a child, who has passed on, who has died. For them, Christ has returned. They can do no more. They have no pain. They have no sorrow. They are peacefully awaiting that trumpet call of our Lord Jesus Christ when he returns to set up God's kingdom. So let us live a life as Jesus would want us to do. When we fail, which we will, not just once, when we do fail, we ask for forgiveness. The strength to get up, the strength to carry on. The actual date of Christ's return is basically irrelevant. It shouldn't make a difference to the way we live. We need to live a life that God wants us to do. Then we will be in his kingdom at his return, no matter when it is. We come together this morning to partake of the emblems, to remind us of the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. He died so that when we die, or when Christ returns, we pray that we will be in his kingdom, and we will hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant."